But the kingdom of God in its fullness is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will continue his series about heaven. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of joy from heaven.
What the filling of the Holy Spirit means? But let me give you a simple definition of what be filled with the Holy Spirit means. You know what it means? He said Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, which is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And so, when you are drunk with wine, you're what? You're under the control of that wine. You're under the control of that bottle. Like the guy that was riding down the street, and he was swerving all over the road. And the policeman saw him, and the policeman pulled him over. And he said, sir, you've been drinking. And the man said, I haven't been drinking. He said, yes, you have. You've been drinking. And the man said, no, I haven't been drinking. He said, look right there. What you got in that bottle? He saw, this is water. And the policeman said, well, let me see that. And he took it and put a little finger, and he tasted it. He said, man, this is wine. And the guy said, praise the Lord, he did it again. So the man was under the influence of alcohol. And so Jesus came to send the Holy Spirit so that we could get a fruit of the Spirit. And one of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. And how do we get this joy? We get this joy by being what? Under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Just by reading the Word of God. And I would encourage you, I think I've done some teachings on the filling of the Spirit, that you get one of those CDs or go online and find somebody that's, you know, a good Bible teacher and see what they're saying about the filling of the Spirit. Because we can have this joy that, again, it's not going to be like heaven, but we can have as close as we can get here on this earth. Let's look at 1 John. Let's look at 1 John. Couple passages there. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 4. John said, and these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. So you can't have the joy of heaven, but you can have the fullest joy possible here on this earth. Look at 2 John chapter 1 and verse 12. He says, having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come to you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. That you can have a fullness of joy. And the problem is with God's people is that Jesus came. And again, I'm not trying to convolute things, because he did come to bring us salvation. He did, first and foremost, come to bring us salvation. But he came to bring us joy, too. He came to bring us joy. You know, I was reading a story about a little boy who was at his granddad's farm. And he looked at the chicken, and he said, he ain't got it. He looked at a horse and said, he ain't got it. And then he saw a donkey who had a long, frowning face. And he said, Grandpa, Grandpa, come. He said, come here. He said, I found it. I found it. And the grandpa said, well, what did you find? He said, I found the animal that has the same kind of religion that you have. Why aren't Christians experiencing this joy? Why aren't we experiencing this joy? You know, they there was a conference, and I'm not going to say the denomination. I don't want to offend anybody because this message goes on the radio, so I don't want to offend my listeners on the radio. So I'm not going to give the denomination. No, I don't. Be quiet. But at this conference, right, they gave everybody a balloon. And they said, and it was one of these balloons, helium balloons. And they said, whenever you have a sense of deep abiding joy, let your balloon go. And so the service went on, and by the end of the service, there was still a third of the people there that had not released their balloons. They did not experience the joy that the Lord gives. And I began to think, what would it be like if here at Bethany, what if we did this today? And we were all honest. You know, sometimes, you know, when we get put on Front Street, you know, we kind of, you know, blend in with the crowd, you know, so we might let our balloon go, right? But if we were honest, and we gave everybody in here a helium balloon, and we said that, you know, whenever you have that sense or you understand that sense of joy in your spirit, let your balloon go. I wonder at the end of the service, how many of our good Bethany members would still be holding on to their balloon? And the reason, one of the reasons that Jesus came was so that we might have joy. That we might have joy. He said he came so that we can understand the joy that's found in heaven. And so we can experience this full joy. And now as we move on, I want to deal with these three things and then I'll be done. And you can keep going. Keep going. I was going to do something with that. You can keep going. All right, here we go. All right. Jesus came that we might get a taste of joy, the joy of heaven. He came that we might get a taste of the joy of heaven. And when we think of the joy of heaven, let me just hit this and I'll be done. The first thing we see is that it's unhindered. That the joy in heaven is unhindered. If you'll look at your notes, it's unhindered joy in heaven. And we can have, here on this earth, unhindered joy. So as I go through these, I want you to ask yourself the question, do I have this kind of joy? Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 4, great is my boldness of speech towards you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort and I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. He said that he was joyful in tribulation, that he did not allow tribulation to interrupt his joy. He didn't allow negative circumstances in his life to be roadblocks to his joy. What roadblocks does Satan throw in your path that cause you to stop and halt in your joy? What circumstances are thrown in front of you that cause your joy to be interrupted? In heaven, joy is uninterrupted. It's not hindered. There's no obstacles to our joy in heaven. And this is the same thing that God would want us down here. Jesus came. He made way for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us the fruit of the Spirit, which is joy. And then the Bible says to be filled with the Spirit and that we can know this uninterrupted joy. The second thing, this unhindered joy. The second thing we see is that it's uninterrupted. This joy is uninterrupted. Look at a couple verses. Now, if you ever want to memorize some verses, let me give you one verse that you can memorize. Not this one, but the first one is Philippians 4 and verse 4. Philippians 4 and verse 4. And it says here, rejoice in the Lord sometimes. I must have got the wrong translation here. Rejoice in the Lord most of the time. Rejoice in the Lord always. And if you didn't get it, and again, I say rejoice. So this joy is to not only be unhindered, it's to be uninterrupted. As difficult as it might be for the child of God to have unbroken joy, there should never be a time in your life when joy is absent. People should be able to come up to you at any time during the day and ask you, do you have joy? And you might say, man, my situation is bad. My bills are due. My washing machine is broke. My kids are rebelling. But I still got my joy. I still got my joy. He says, rejoice always. Now, here goes the verse. If you want to impress people and memorize a verse, right? You can impress. You can say, man, I'm memorizing scripture. And here goes a scripture that you can memorize. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Put that up there on the screen. I want everybody to memorize this verse. All right. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. All right. It's not up there, but let me tell you what it is. It says two words. What does it say? Rejoice forevermore. Rejoice evermore. That everybody ought to memorize that verse. And you can go and you can quote that verse all throughout the day. Rejoice forevermore. That God says that we need to be in a perpetual state of rejoicing. Now, oh, here it goes right there. So let's all say that together. Rejoice evermore. Amen. Rejoice evermore. Saints, there's no option. Now, if Jesus, who was in heaven with the Father for all eternity, and he left the joys of heaven to come down here and die on the cross so that we might have salvation and that we might have joy, and then he says, rejoice evermore. He commands us to rejoice evermore. See, you know, some of us need to be reminded of this, right? And because we have a tendency to forget. We allow our circumstances to overwhelm. Now, go to the next one. Now, I'm going to bring this all three of these together with this next one right here. James chapter 1 and verse 2. James chapter 1. We're going to tie this all together right here. James chapter 1 and verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or various trials. The believer is commanded. Now you need to, oh man, Lord, help me to get this point across. He didn't say count it joy because of your circumstances. You know, if you got problems, you're not supposed to be happy because you got problems. You need to be trying to work to get those problems straightened out. You know, you shouldn't be happy because you got problems. You shouldn't be joyful because you got problems. But in the midst of your problems, you should still have joy. And notice, he said, count it all joy. When you fall into, remember the parable of the Good Samaritan, and the guy was going down the road, and you know what it says that this guy did? It said he what? Fell among some thieves, right? He fell among some thieves. Well, that's the same concept here, that when this man was surrounded by thieves. There were thieves around him, and they beat him up, and they robbed him. He fell among them. You know, sometimes our problems will come and they'll beat us up and they'll surround us. And the one thing that they'll try to do is they'll try to rob you of your joy. But don't let your circumstances, when you fall into, the Good Samaritan, don't, when you fall into your problems, and your problems are all around you, don't let them beat you up. Don't let them rob you. Don't let them take your joy. And the second thing that we want to take out of this verse right here is he says, look at this. He says, count it all joy. What does that mean? He means that it's all joy. That if you have a glass of water, that's all water. But if you put some, I'm going to go back, take us back in the day, right? If we put some Kool-Aid in it, right? Then it's, at that point, it's not all water anymore. And then like we used to have them, jars with the handles on them, right? Them Kool-Aid jars. And you put some sugar in it. Well, there's no water. It's water that's mixed right now. James says, don't mix your faith with bitterness. I mean, your joy with bitterness. Don't mix your joy with anger. Don't mix your joy with trying to deceive. He said, let it be pure joy. Don't let anything come in there and corrupt your joy. And that if we have unmixed joy, if we have uninterrupted joy, if we have unhindered joy, that no matter what happens. Now, if you go back to that cowboy picture, see, I'm letting the spirit lead me this morning, right? All right. But you remember those cowboy pictures where they would come into the town and they would get the bad guys and they would surround them and they would say, come out with your hands up. Come out with your hands up. Well, I'm here to tell you that whenever our troubles surround us, go to that next slide. We need to come out. You need to come out with your hands in the air. Psalm 63, verse 4, thus I will bless thee while I live. I will lift my hands in thy name. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Come out with your hands up. That whenever your problems surround you and your problem seems to overwhelm you, come out with your hands up. Whenever it seems like you're going down for the last time, come out with your hands up. Come out rejoicing. Come out praising God. That's why Jesus came. He came to give us this joy. And he said in the Gospel of John that this joy that I have, the world can't take it away. And now we've added to that, right? We added to that. We said the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Jesus just said that the world can't take it away. This joy that he came, that joy that they talked about in Luke, I bring you glad tidings. You know, that joy, that's available to you. And so sometimes, if you'll go to that last slide, sometimes we need to have an attitude of joy. I was reading about how many of the settlers, when they traveled west, there was this one town where there was a wise man, and he stood at the entrance of the town. And the people who came to him would say, what's this town like? What kind of town is this? And he would say, well, what was the town like that you left? He said, all the people there were mean. They were angry. They were bitter. They had lost all their zest for living. They had lost their joy. And the wise man who stood at the entrance of the city, he said, well, I got bad news for you. You're going to find the same thing here, exact same thing. About a week later, another group of settlers came to settle in. They said, hey, what's this town like? How is it? He said, well, what's the town like that you came from? He saw, man, the people there were loving and they were joyful and they just had an exuberance for life and just a zest that was unbelievable. And he said, that's what this town is like too. See, what did this wise man know? He knew whatever you came out of, that's what was in you. And you were just going to take whatever you came out of, and you were just going to bring it to the next place. Well, I'm here to tell you, my brothers and sisters, if we want to see our lives impacted. And we want to make a difference in this life, that we need to start allowing the joy of the Lord to exude from us. And I guarantee you that as we allow the joy of the Lord to exude from us, that the places where we go, people are either going to be convicted and change, or they're going to say, you crazy. Because I have had that. Man, how in the world can you be so joyful? In the midst of, you know, all the stuff that's going on and all the stuff that you got going on in your life, how in the world can you be joyful? You know, as I look around, it troubles me a little bit. And I'm done. But it troubles me a little bit. 8 years ago, when Barack Obama was elected president, there were people, I heard people say he was the Antichrist. I'm talking about good Christian people said he was the Antichrist. And they were walking around depressed, and they had almost lost. Well, it seemed like some of them had lost their joy. And now we got Donald Trump, and there's people walking around, and you hear them talk, and it looks like they done lost their joy because Donald Trump is in the White House. I don't care who's in the White House, Barack Obama, Donald Trump, I know who's in the big house. And as long as God is in the big house, I'm not going to lose my joy. I'm going to have my joy. And, you know, Donald Trump didn't give me my joy. Hillary Clinton didn't give me my joy. They didn't give it to me. I'm not going to let them take it away. And so, my brothers and sisters, we need to let people know that we are God's people and that Jesus transformed my life. And that when he transformed my life, one of the things that he did was he gave me joy. Jesus came from heaven to bring us joy. Father, we thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to share why Jesus came. And Lord, we know that Satan is busy, and he's trying to steal our joy. He's trying to rob us of our joy. Lord, he's trying to rob us of the joy that we have in relationships. He's trying to rob us of the joy that we have in serving God. He's trying to rob us of the joy that we have in being in our communities and around our neighbors. He's trying to rob us of the joy that we could have on our job. And Lord, a lot of times we look at our jobs, and the reason that we don't have joy is the same reason why this wise man, who these settlers, when they came, Lord, it wasn't a matter of them coming to a place where there was joy. It was a matter of them coming to a place and bringing their joy with them. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us as your people to realize that we have joy, that Jesus came. And I keep saying this because I don't want anybody to misquote me, but Jesus came for our salvation. That's why he came. But he also came to bring us joy. And so, Lord, let us realize that when we don't walk in the joy of the Lord, that we are in disobedience. Lord, again, we're not supposed to be happy about our circumstances. We're not supposed to be happy about our problems, but we're supposed to be happy in the midst of our problems, that we are not to be shaken and we are not to be moved, and that we should have our joy. And so, Father, I pray now that you would touch this congregation today. And Lord, I pray that if there's someone here today that does not know Jesus Christ and the pardon of sin, and you desire for them to come to Christ today, that they might come forward. Lord, if there's someone here today looking for a place to fellowship, looking for a church home, and this is where you want them to be, Lord, I pray that they would come as we give the invitation this morning. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Rest from Heaven. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Joy from Heaven, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Joy from Heaven. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request joy from heaven, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.